Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be together this day. When I asked Patrick to lead that song, Faith of Our Fathers, he got a concerned look on his face and he said, "That is a heavy song." And it is. If you read the words of the song you just sang and think about, especially verse 2, what we're singing about is kind of a difficult topic. Talk about faith. You know, faith is such a big subject. We, if we've been Christians long at all, have heard many, many lessons on the topic. You will continue to hear those. I'm sure in my life I will preach thousands of those. You think about the cornerstones of Christianity, one of those cornerstones is faith. One of the subjects that is important to you and I. When we think about faith, you know, faith is really several different things. Faith is a personal thing. It is your relationship with God, your faith in God, in Jesus. Faith is also a community thing. It is a congregational church thing, our faith. The faith. And faith is also a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 13. It is the three lasting gifts of God. Faith, hope, and love. Faith. I was thinking about this lesson, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of have struggled this week. I knew I wanted to preach this lesson, but I struggled not in understanding kind of what I wanted, what I felt like God wanted us to know, but in exactly how to do it. And I was thinking about, you know, I know last week you heard a lot about legacy. I won't use that term as much this week. But legacy. What kind of legacy do we want to leave for our children? We are all trying to teach our children, our grandchildren, those we love, things that are important to us. You know, our parents taught us, hopefully, about hard work, about honesty, trustworthiness. You know, those are some of the core values that hopefully as a child of God we have. There are other things our parents have attempted to leave with us. Personal things. My dad is a big sports fan. And he wanted us boys to be sports fans too. And so he tried to endure that in us. He was more successful with me than my brothers. My older brother had no desire, no inclination that way at all. Our moms want to teach us things. They want to leave us with something, with a part of who they are. Because that's really what it's about, isn't it? We want our kids to understand us better. We want to leave them with the things that are important to us. Legacy. We spend lots of time on those things that are important to us and teaching those and trying to give those to our children. Are we leaving our children a legacy of faith, though? Are we trying to endure, give to our children faith? You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul is talking about the need to preach the gospel, how God has set in place ways in order that the gospel can be spread. And he gets down to verse 17, and he says, all of this kind of surrounds verse 17. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why did God provide so many avenues of preaching and teaching? Of leading spiritually. He was all for the goal of what? Spreading the faith. In getting the word out. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul is writing to Christians about all kinds of different relationships. He begins in chapter 5 and he carries it on into chapter 6. He talks about husbands and wives. He talks about Christ and the church. He talks about children and their parents. And then in verse 4 he talks about fathers and their children. And he says at the end of that, he begins by saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't push them so hard that you're going to make them angry and resentful and rebellious. In what way? Well, he answers it in the end of verse 4 when he says, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What's he saying to fathers? Fathers, as you're a spiritual leader in the home, as you should be, you need to be about training and admonishing your children in the faith. Now, one of the main tasks of parents, of fathers, is to give to their children not just their things they do in their life, their hobbies, their job, all those things, but even more so your faith. Leaving behind a legacy of faith. Notice what Colossians chapter 2 says. Colossians chapter 2, he says, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ, what have you been given, Colossian brethren? You've been given Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, Christ Jesus, and established where in the faith, as you have been what? Taught. In the passage that was read for us earlier, in Psalm 78, I want you to notice what the psalmist is writing about here. He says, give ear, listen up, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. In other words, he's going to tell them about what's happened, the good things and the tough things, which we have heard and known how, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wonderful works that He, God, has done. The generations giving to the next generation their faith. The faith of our fathers. I want to spend a few minutes this morning thinking about this concept of giving our faith to our children and to their children, and how vitally important this is. A few months ago, we were at the Men's Fellowship in South Carolina, and I heard a man there preach about Judges chapter 2, and that kind of inspired my thoughts. I've been thinking about them ever since. I want us to go back and look at Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, he is, an angel of the Lord comes to Bochum, and he begins to talk about what God has done in establishing His covenant, and how God is not is not a God who breaks his covenant, but he is a God who is faithful in keeping his covenant. That God will never fail us. He will never break what he has promised. But unfortunately, the children of Israel have done just that very thing. But they haven't always done it. Go down to verse 7. I want you to notice what the text tells us about the children of Israel. And it says, so the people, the children of Israel, serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now we think about Joshua. Joshua is the second in command to Moses. He was the chosen new leader of the Israelite people. Moses brought them out of Egypt. Joshua is going to bring them out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And so he does that. And they march on, and we know they go into Jericho and the walls fall. And then they continue on and they conquer the promised land as Joshua leads them. And so the people serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now back up for just a minute though. Think about the generations of people. Think about those people who came out of Egypt. Think about the things they saw, the things they personally experienced. They experienced those 9 or 10 plagues of Egypt. They saw that. They experienced the river turning to blood. They experienced the flies and the locusts and the frogs and the boils. They saw the Egyptians suffering with all those things. They experienced the Passover. They heard the cries of the Egyptian people as they lost their firstborn. God did all that to free them from bondage and slavery. They saw how Moses, through the power of God, divided the Red Sea. They experienced that. Can you just imagine it just for a moment? Just think about what it was like to see this huge body of water just split. Now, people can do some amazing things today, but that's just impossible. That just doesn't happen without God. Those things just don't happen. But with God, all things are possible. They walked across dry land. They knew all that. Their children saw all that. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? That's not really talking about dogs, is it? It's really talking about us. Older we get, the harder it is for us to learn. The harder it is for us to be educated and taught. Because why? We're too stubborn. We're too prideful. These same people that saw all that, these same people that were fed from manna from heaven, rebuked God, rebelled against God. And so for 40 years they wandered in the desert, but you know their children didn't. Hard to teach an old person. Children are like sponges. They absorb. They're like clay. They're malleable. They're a lot easier to mold. Those children served God all the days of Joshua. Notice as the text continues in verse 7, he says, in all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So what do you have going on here? You have these people coming out of Egypt. They see all these great things. They travel through the wilderness for 40 years. They hear and see the great works of God. And they serve God because it engendered in them faith, trust in God, hope in God. And what did they do? They taught their children. They spoke about it to their children. And what happened? They gave to their children their faith. I'm not saying they made their children into slaves and made them believe in God, but their children saw what they were doing. They saw how they served God, and they themselves were molded by that faith. And so they served God. But notice verse 10. When all that generation, all that second generation, had been gathered to their fathers, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. You got three generations there. You've got a generation who came to the wilderness. You've got a generation who came to the wilderness and into the promised land, all the while seeing the great works of God. You've got a second generation who heard about all the great works of God. And then you've got a third generation who did not know God. Two generations away from apostasy. Two generations away from a group of people going into complete rebellion against God. The reality is, we are only ever one generation away from faith departing from our families and our congregation if we do not know and teach the Word of God. I want you to notice something that Barna.com, it's a group that does a lot of surveys, and they surveyed 1993 a group of quote-unquote Christians, and they found that in that survey that 89% of people agreed that it was every Christian's responsibility to share their faith. Which is 100. 89 is a large percentage of people. In that same survey, only 10% said that it was the responsibility of the local congregation. Now, I want you to understand the difference there. Spreading the Word of God is not the responsibility of the congregation. Spreading the Word of God is our responsibility as individual Christians. In 1993, a majority of people understood that and believed it. Maybe didn't always do it, but at least they understood it. That survey was taken again recently. Notice the change. A mere 64% of people agreed that it was every Christian's responsibility to share their faith. That's a quarter percent change. A quarter of the people now believed it wasn't really their responsibility. And 47, up from 10%, 47%, almost half the people in the quote-unquote Christian world believe that it is a responsibility of not themselves, but of the local congregation to spread their faith. There is a danger out there of our children losing the faith that we hold so precious and dear. But there's hope. We need to rediscover that faith of our fathers, that faith that was laid down by Jesus Christ, that faith that was grown and expanded by Peter and the other apostles, by the great work of Paul, by the great work of those early church fathers, of the great men of the Restoration Movement. and what they did for us. Of those that we have seen come and go who have led lives of faith, who have now given us the work to build upon. We need to rediscover that faith. I want you to notice 2 Kings chapter 22. It's probably something you're familiar with or at least have heard. One of the most interesting, fascinating, and great examples is King Josiah. He becomes king at a very early age, at the age of 8. He begins his reign. At the age of 31, something very significant happens. They're doing some renovations to the temple. And in the midst of that, there's a book that's found by the high priest, Hilkiah. The high priest gives it or sends it by way of Shaphan to Josiah. And in verse 10, he brings that book. He tells King Josiah about it. And then it says in verse 11, or the end of verse 10, he says, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. There's a lot in that that I want us to consider. A lot that's not said. Number one, what have they been doing without the word of God? It's been lost for years and years. And nobody thought to say, hey, you know what? We better find the word of God. Where is it? That clues us in at least a little bit to the spiritual condition of the people. Number one, or number two, where do they find it? In the place it's never left, the temple of God, in God's house. They find it in a wall. Now, how did it get in that wall? I don't know. Number three, notice the reaction of a young man who has never heard its words. He's never in his life ever been exposed to the Word of God. You know, there's some people here today who maybe even up to this point or maybe in their recent past before they became a child of God never were exposed to the Word of God. It's a sad commentary on our world, but it's also true. You notice his reaction. He's a man in deep sorrow because he knows the spiritual condition of the people is so bad. He rediscovered the Word of God, and he led a revival for a short time of faith. We need to rediscover the Word of God in our homes, in our families. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, the Ephesian church would be well to adhere to this message. We're told in verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. We need to do some repenting of the way we're teaching in our homes. We need to remember how important it is to teach and proclaim our faith. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrews writer says that there were some in the churches, in the Hebrew churches, who should have been teachers. He says, you ought to have been teachers by now, but now you need someone to go back and teach you the first oracles of God, the first principles. They had forgotten the first principles of Christianity, of the gospel. And it was because, as verse 14 says, they had not exercised themselves in their faith by reason of use. It's a wonderful thing to learn and to gather all kinds of information. You can read and study and memorize the Word of God, but it isn't going to do you any good, me any good, unless we exercise it by reason of use. Applying the things that, as Peter says, you can grow thereby. We as children of God need to desire the Word of God as a babe desires the milk of his mother. When that young baby is hungry, he's going to let you know, because he has a deep passion inside of him for that milk. He needs it. And so he's going to show that desire in his life. Our children, when they look at us, our grandchildren, do they see someone who has that kind of desire for the Word of God? Or are we teaching him or her by our actions that it's not really all that important? Our children look to us. They need to see us living these things out. Jesus, when he sent his apostles out on the Great Commission, he said, "Go therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." Not just about getting people wet in the water. It's about showing them how to live out their faith before others. And we do that by preaching Jesus. Philip, when he adjoins himself to the chariot and begins to teach the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 35 tells us that he, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus unto him. Do you know Jesus? Do your children know Jesus? Paul said to Timothy, in discussing about his faith, he says that from childhood he had known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through what? Faith. Hebrews writer tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. We need to rediscover the faith of our fathers. And finally, we need to hold on to that faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Israelite people are commanded by God that they fear him, verse 2, and to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I have commanded to you. So number one, the Israelite fathers needed to live out the Word of God. They needed to know it and to live it. And then notice as he goes on, he says, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be proclaimed. And he goes on to verse 6 and he talks about, you need to teach these diligently to your children. How are we going to save the future generations of the church? Do we want to know for sure that the Sanford congregation is going to continue to meet here, that they're going to be Christians in Sanford? We need to teach the children of Sanford. How do we know that the church is going to continue on in America? We need to teach the children of America about God. Holding on to the faith of our fathers. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the Proverbs writer reminds us that we need to train up. Think of the ideal of training. What does training involve? It is the study of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our children need to hear the Word of God. Today, there's a lot of emphasis on practical use lessons, on making the Word of God practical, and those are important, and we need to do that. I attempt to do it. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But preachers, teachers need to teach how to make the Word of God practical, but we cannot forget to teach the Word of God, the basic elements of truth. There's an article we're going to have in the bulletin next week, and I want you to read it. And I think there's some valuable things in there about teaching our children about Noah. You've heard the story of Noah so many times, you're bored with hearing about Noah. Your children have not heard about Noah as many times as you have. They need to hear about Noah. They need to hear about Abraham. You've heard all kinds of lessons about Abraham. You're tired of hearing about Abraham. Your children need to know about Abraham. You've heard the lessons about feeding 5,000 people. I've heard it. I've heard it done so many times. Your children haven't heard it as much as you have. They need to know it. We as adults can make practical application of the Word of God. Why? Because we know it. You can't make practical application of what you do not understand. Our children need concrete lessons from the Word of God. They need to hear about these things. And they need to hear us speak about them passionately, excitedly, because that's what our faith is based on. We need to give to them what we received. Again, Paul says to fathers, bring up your children in training and admonition of the Lord, of faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we going to do that? It's by holding on to, as he says in verse 5, that one faith. He goes on to talk about how God has given us apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Why? Verse 13, till we all come to what? The unity of the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Teaching the truth in love, that you may what? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, Jude says that we need to earnestly contend. For what? A little earlier he says, concerning our common salvation. We need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered for all the saints. Peter says to always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. Are we ready to give a defense? Are we learning from the Word of God? Are we giving that to our children? Again, Psalm 78 and verse 4. We will not hide them from our children, but we will tell each generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He has done. This morning, have you put your faith in God? Are you holding on to the faith of our fathers? Unfortunately, some of us were not raised in homes where the faith of God was taught. I'm not talking about those fathers. I'm talking about our fathers in the faith that was handed down. Jesus brought to us a faith that saves, a faith that will endure, a faith that will bring you home to heaven. Do you have faith? Have you attained to that faith in your own life? This morning, do you need to begin to put your faith in God by obeying His Word, His Gospel? Maybe today you're ready to obey. Maybe you're ready to become a child of God. Maybe you've been putting it off for a very long time. And you've been thinking, next time, when I'm ready, you're ready. Today is the day you need to take care of that. We can help you in becoming a child of God, in obeying the commandments of God. We can share together the Word of God. We can study it, learn it. Maybe you already know what God requires of you. Maybe you're ready to obey. Maybe you're ready to repent, to confess Jesus Lord, and to be baptized. Please make that happen today. If not for your sake, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren. Maybe you're a child of God who's just wandered away from the truth, and this morning you want to come home. Whatever your need, please come as together we stand and sing.